You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This is an important year in many ways for the Detroit branch of the NAACP. It will be in the national spotlight this summer when it hosts the 110th National Convention. And the civil rights organization in Detroit has a new leader. Camellia Landrum is the newly named executive director, and she's with us now. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Now, you are certainly no stranger, Camellia, to the Detroit branch. Am I right? You were the president of its youth council of, we won't say how many years back, but a few years back?
You know what? I'm actually proud to say how many years back, because most people, when you hear a lineage with an organization, whether it be 10 years, 14 years, you expect them to be of an older age. And I'm happy to say that I've had the opportunity to grow with the NAACP from my youth council years, so starting 14 years ago now.
Okay, that's a good long stretch. For context, you're also someone who knows Detroit. You got your master's at Wayne State, so you know Detroit's history and the history of the largest branch of the NAACP. Broadly speaking, what is your vision of what the Detroit branch of the NAACP means to the city and broadly to the state?
So broadly to the city, the Detroit branch NAACP has been a stalwart as it relates to civil rights advocacy, social justice advocacy for many residents. As we know, Detroit previously had a large issue with segregation dating back to any idea, whether it be home ownership, economic sustainability. You know, we've seen these kind of segregation issues, which the Detroit branch NAACP played a huge role in with significant cases such as Ossian Sweet. So the organization as a whole has always had a voice in propelling diversity and inclusion in this city. As it relates to statewide, where Detroit goes, so does the state. And so without question, I believe that the work that we do here in the city and that we're able to accomplish has a ripple effect.
When you think of the history of the Detroit branch, going back to 1912, now, almost as old as the national organization, just 3 years younger.
Yeah, just 3 years.
How does Detroit's chapter fit within the larger story of the national organization?
So we are the largest branch of the NAACP, and we have held that title for a very long time. We are the most awarded for our memberships, for our programming that we offer. We have programs such as Art and Essay that's been going on for 30 years, our AXO program. All of these special events that we host here locally are home to NAACP. We often set the blueprint for other units and how they choose to operate. We also have the largest Freedom Fund dinner, which is a NAACP fundraiser that all units are allowed to host. So knowing that we've been able to carry that title for such a long time, many units look to us for leadership.
In fact, that's coming up in May, correct?
Yes, the dinner is scheduled for May 5. It's going to be at Cobo Hall. We are very excited. This is the 64th annual Fight for Freedom Fund dinner. We have some very, very special things planned, which we can't announce just yet. I know you're itching, but we have some very special things planned. And if anyone wants to get more information, they can always check out our website or call us.
I know the national NAACP has just announced strategic restructuring to put it in a better position to lead policy advocacy and social justice work. What changes do you think that might bring to the national organization and to branches like Detroit's?
So the way that our organizations are structured, our local units are encouraged to do advocacy work. And so the restructuring just helps us to be able to lift our voices on a more national platform even louder. And so with kind of the 501c3, C4 structure, sometimes there are implementations or restrictions, I should say, on certain advocacy work that we can do. So by restructuring, it's allowed us to just open that door and not have our voices silenced.
When we think of today's headlines of Black Lives Matter, of the power of social media and the internet, how does a more than century-old organization stay relevant and swiftly respond to the challenges of a 21st century world?
We meet our audience exactly where they are. So for a national organization, you know, we have every social media platform that there is, and we have over 1 million online activists that engage with us on a yearly basis. At the same level, we have our local, where we also make sure that we're sharing up-to-date current information, and that it also gives people an opportunity to share information with us. So traditionally, you've had to either come into our office, you had to give us a phone call, but sometimes when people see instances going on around the city, they're able to report them right away through our social media platforms. We see that with the gentleman down in Eastern Market when they had a huge conflict with one of the owners and how they were treating their employees. We were immediately kind of tagged on Facebook with the issues that were taking place and able to respond. If folks have discrimination issues that they're dealing with in their own lives or maybe at their workplace, they're able to reach out to us through those platforms. And so having an online presence is what keeps us relevant because people are able to immediately connect with the organization and not have to kind of search for us in some of the older traditional methods.
If you've just joined us, we're talking with Camelia Landrum, who is the newly named executive director of the Detroit branch of the NAACP, moving up through 14 years with the Detroit branch, starting as a being with its youth council. So here you are, the executive director, and you look into the future. How do you see this playing out? What are your top priorities as executive director for the Detroit branch?
So we do all of our work under what we call our five game changers. That's where our advocacy voices and our programming align: civic engagement, education, economic sustainability, healthcare, criminal justice. So all of the work and the programming that I'm allowed to create and or implement will fall within those five game changers. I want to make sure that our members are educated on the issues that are taking place in our city and the context in which they will apply to their lives. I want to make sure that we have action that is aligned and gives people something to do and engage with the organization. And so all of that really speaks to the voice of advocacy, because if we have folks that are engaged with the organization, if they're educated on the issues and we give them a task or a duty to do, it can be a letter writing campaign to our elected officials, or if it's a phone call campaign to individuals that we need to push legislation in the right way for our community, that gives them an opportunity to use their voice in advocacy. And that's really what I want to be able to focus on in my leadership.
I'm guessing that when you step up as executive director of any organization that has such a long history, more than a century old, there has to be kind of that sense of wanting to get the right balance between preserving history and also creating change.
So I feel like I'm in one of the best and probably most unique situations, because with an organization like this, historical knowledge is so important. And since I started in high school, I've been able to build so many relationships with individuals. I mean, literally the past four executive directors, I'm able to contact them at any point. And there is not too many jobs or responsibilities that folks can say, hey, I can reach back to four different people that have previously had this opportunity before me. And so I think it's really, really good to know that, one, you have that support, but two, to not feel that the entire weight is on your shoulders and that you don't have any help. So I'm glad that that support system is there to be able to help me through. But also, just because I am of a younger generation, I can still connect to the things that I know folks in my age range find relevant. And so it's kind of like a gap, a bridge between both, knowing the importance of the history, but also knowing what is exciting to my generation.
Is it ever hard to convince younger people that this organization can represent them and can reflect their concerns?
No, I don't find it difficult for us. What I find more difficult is that we don't tell the story of how our young people are engaged. We have what we call a youth and college division within the NAACP that's almost 25,000 members strong. And through those programs, you know, starting in high school for me, we still offer all of those initiatives. Our youth council, our career day, art and essay contest, EXO contest, we have a lot of opportunities for youth to engage. And what we have found is that when you get them in those high school years, they remain involved, whether they go off to college and they're in their college chapters working on behalf of the NAACP, or they graduate and then they come back and get involved and volunteer at the branch. So our strategy to make sure we reach young people in high school and sometimes younger ages, helps them to know the relevance, and then they go out and spread the word as they're kind of going through adulthood.
That national convention coming to Detroit this July, how many people are you expecting will be coming to Detroit for this?
So we're hoping to engage at least 10,000, whether that be members coming in from our entire across the coast. You know, we'll have folks here from Mississippi, California, New York, Georgia. They'll be coming in droves into the city of Detroit. But we also want to make sure we have opportunities for the community to engage as well. And that's something that's really high on our priority list.
And what is the Detroit story that you want these visitors who might be coming to the city for the first time? What do you want to show them?
We want to make sure that folks know Detroiters are always committed to prosperity. Detroiters are committed to overcoming. And so we want to make sure that with the community members that we seek to engage, that they truly tell the story of Detroit, the prosperity that we see, you know, downtown and in some neighborhoods. We want to highlight all the good things in Detroit, and not just some of them.
Camelia Landrum is the new executive director of the Detroit branch of the NAACP. Thank you for spending time with us and talking with us on Stateside.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, and I look forward to hopefully talking to you again soon.